On December 26th, Boxing Day, the Magical Mystery Tour film is shown on the BBC. They reportedly have paid £20,000 for screening rights. It is seen by 13 million viewers. But the Beatles' home movie was not well received. The Daily Mirror in England says if they weren't the Beatles, the BBC would not have fallen for it. Paul, who conceived the idea while on a plane trip back to London from Los Angeles, tells another British newspaper, "We goofed. My dad brought the bad news into me this morning like the figure of doom." Perhaps the reaction is right. Perhaps we're right. We have to wait and see.
There's a couple of main things that were really hashed up about that. One was that we made it in colour. You know, it was a sort of colour thing. And it was put out, first of all, in black and white. So there's whole big sequences that you couldn't understand, you know, because they looked... I saw it on the telly and it just looked mad, you know, in black and white. Because there were sequences where the colours changed, you know, and... that was a bit daft. The thing itself was we just did it off our own bat, you know, and I think it was put on like the wrong time on telly when everyone's expecting sort of Christmas extravaganzas, and we put on this mad film. I tell you, I think it's going to be in about 10 years' time, it's going to be one of those films that said, let's have a look at that again, and it'll be like an old, like a Rock Around the Clock in them. You know, now they look better than they did then.
On December 27th, Paul appears on the David Frost program and says he thought the film was badly received because people were looking for a plot, but there wasn't one. It was all very impulsive. There was no script. Ringo did the camera work, and Paul directed and edited the film. They disregarded all the rules and conventions in making it, and therefore suffered the consequences. The Beatles brought back their old friend Victor Spinetti to act a part in the movie.
That film, Magic Mystery Tour, is really a teaching film and should be shown at universities and colleges because it teaches. What it teaches is to celebrate the fact that you are alive. It's a celebration. It is like a Roman Catholic Mass. You celebrate every day that you are alive. And that was their celebration. And that's what Magic Mystery Tour is about. We're all on a mystery trip. We don't know who we are. And the journey is to find out who it is that is this thing and how much love can we give.
Two recorded tracks, Shirley's Wild Accordion and Jesse's Dream, never made the collection of the two EPs. Apart from the film, 1967 was a good year for the Beatles. Artistically, the rave reviews were still coming in over Sgt. Pepper. They had lost their manager, but had found consolation with the Maharishi. And as individuals, they'd begun at long last to put their lives, homes, and organizations into some semblance of order. On January 6th, 1968, the Daily Mirror reports that John Lennon has ended the family feud with his father, Fred, who left John when he was a child. John says, "From now on, I hope we will be in close contact all the time." On January 19th, the first Apple group, Grapefruit, is launched with a single, "Dear Delilah." Their name was chosen by John Lennon. On February 24th, Paul McCartney tells the Evening Standard, "Instead of trying to amass money for the sake of it, we're setting up a business concern at Apple, rather like a Western communism. We've got all the money we need. We'd like it to work for other people." George Harrison, John Lennon, and their wives spend February and March in India with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Paul spends a month, and Ringo only stays 10 days, even though, like the others, he took a large consignment of baked beans with him. Paul and his girlfriend Jane Asher talk to reporters at London's Heathrow Airport on their return.
You sit down, you relax, and then you repeat a sound to yourself. And it sounds daft, but it's just a system of relaxation. And that's all it is, you know, there's nothing more to it. So that we meditated for about 5 hours a day in all, you know, sort of 2 hours in the morning and maybe 3 hours in the evening. And then the rest of the time we slept, ate, sunbathed, and had fun, you know.
One Indian MP accused this place of being an espionage center.
In fact,
of being a spy for the West.
Don't tell anyone. It's true.
It is.
We're spies, yes. The four of us have been spies. Actually, I'm a reporter, and I joined the Beatles for that very reason. But story's out next week in the paper, which will be nameless.
Jane, did you go for a holiday, or did you go to meditate as well?
Oh, to meditate, yes.
And what effect has it had on you? This presumably is your first big meditation.
I think it calms you down. It's hard to tell because it was so different, life out there. It'll be easier to tell now that I'm back and we're doing sort of ordinary things. to see just what it does.
John, do you think the Maharishi's on the level?
I don't know what level he's on, but
he's on the
level. We had a nice holiday in India and came back rested to play businessman.
On March 15th, the Beatles released their 17th single, Lady Madonna, backed with Inner Light. It's the first time a George Harrison song is to be featured on a Beatles single. It was to be their last release on the EMI Parlophone label. Lady Madonna, written by Paul, showed a departure from the artsy psychedelic music of the past 2 years. It's a great Beatles single featuring a powerful brass section led by well-known British jazz man and club owner Ronnie Scott. There's some fine Beatle vocal harmonies and a fantastic Fats Domino Elvis Presley lead vocal by Paul. Fats did a version himself, which was an obvious compliment.